Thank you, Joan, for that beautiful prelude. Good morning to those of you joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church this morning. It is so lovely to be together on this beautiful, beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with, another day of life that we can be grateful for. Wow, we are well into August, are we not? Yes, and with a new month, of course, comes a new joyful noise. So that is out. Please do check your email for an electronic copy, or we have printed copies for you to pick up. But please do take the time to read this month's joyful noise. It's full of all kinds of information about church life here at Alameda CRC, and in particular, the start of the new season of ministries and Bible studies that are going to be happening. In particular, this week we have the Wednesday morning Bible study starting up, the Wednesday evening youth group, Disciples Union. We have Saturday morning men's group on Saturday, which has now switched their time from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, so an extra hour of, or not hour, half hour of relaxation before then in the morning. And then we have Saturday, the evening one-on-one Bible study. And then, of course, next week, Sunday, the evening Bible study with Pastor Matt is going to happen. So please check your bulletins and Joyful Noise for the times, the days of all the ministries that are going to be starting up again. And then we will have the cookie ministry starting up, not this week, but the following week. So please consider donating cookies for that ministry, starting to collect those, right, Pastor Matt? So please consider donating. And then next week, Sunday, is already the third Sunday of the month. So it's our monthly potluck. So we hope that you will join us for that fun time of food and fellowship after the service. We ask you to please bring a main dish to share and either a salad or dessert to share as well. So we have that to look forward to. And then lastly, if you could please keep the McClure family in your prayers. This past week, they received a difficult diagnosis for Kat's dad, and she's going to be flying out tomorrow to be... she already did. Okay, I thought it wasn't. She flew out. All right. So safe travels for her, but please just keep the family in your prayers as they go through this deep valley. But it's comforting and it's wonderful to know that the Lord walks beside them. So please keep Kat and the McClure family and the extended family in your prayers. Now, if you are able, would you please stand for our call to worship? And our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And all God's people say, amen. Let's praise the Lord together now.
Thank you. Receive the Lord's greeting this morning. Grace and peace and love be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our call to confession is a responsive reading, so if you would please follow along in the yellow. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions. Wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin, for we know our transgressions and our sin is always before us. Against you, you only have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are approved right when you speak and justified when you judge.
Hide your face from our sins and blot out all our iniquities.
Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us.
Do not cast us from your presence, but take your Holy Spirit from us.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation and grant us willing spirit to sustain us. You do not delight in sacrifice or we would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings.
Our sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. O most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who pardons all such that are truly repentant and turn to you, we humbly confess our sins and implore you mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart fervently, neither have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not done justly, nor loved mercy, nor walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out our iniquity. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your free spirit. Amen. Our assurance of his restoration and forgiveness comes to us from Psalm 32. How blessed is the one whose rebellious acts are forgiven, whose sin is pardoned. How blessed is the one whose wrongdoing the Lord does not punish, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I refused to confess my sin, my whole body wasted away, while I groaned in pain all day long. For day and night you tormented me. You tried to destroy me in the intense heat of summer. Then I confessed my sin. I no longer covered up my wrongdoing. I said, I will confess my rebellious acts to the Lord, and then you forgave my sins. Friends, this is the good news. Please join with me in singing, Lead Me and Guide Me.
Thank you.
Would you join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us. I praise you, Lord, for your gracious and merciful, compassionate, generous and kind character, so that we may, Lord, confidently come before you with our failings, our foibles, our mistakes, our sins, and know that you, Jesus, have carried them all, that you have paid in full, that you have forgiven us, made us whole. Thank you, Lord, for leading us into that great salvation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for confirming in our hearts that we belong to you. With great joy, Lord, we come and we celebrate where we see you moving amongst, Lord, our community and our church, our families. I praise you, Lord, for the work that you have done through the orchestra camp this summer. I praise you, O gracious God, for the seeds sown in the lives of those kids and in their parents' lives. Thank you for Suk and Jen He and their desire, Lord, to serve the kids and the families and to declare you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the healing that you've done in Julian and establishing him in health once again. Lord, we are grateful for him and for your good work. I thank you, Lord, for continuing to maintain Gia's health, and Lord, I pray that she would continue to hear the good words of cancer-free. I thank you, Lord, for her parents and grandparents. I thank you, Lord, for the friends and family that have continually lifted her before you in prayer. And I recognize your good hand in the gift, Lord, of bringing health and restoration to her. Lord, these are reminders of your goodness, and these are reminders of your continued work amongst us, so that we might move in and lay at your feet, Lord, those that are heavy on our hearts. We think, Lord, of those in assisted living homes. I think of Bernice and Arinda and Keiko. We think of Winnie, Lord, and Pastor Dave. All, Lord, dearly loved by you. All have experienced your great love. And though, Lord, we do indeed rest in the assurance that they belong to you, we find our comfort there. We ask, Lord, that you would daily remind them of your continued providential care and your provision for their lives every day. And that, Lord, each one of our lives has meaning for each one of our lives, no matter what age or where we find ourselves at, the meaning of our life is to glorify your name. Remind them, Lord, of their great call then to bring glory to your name. Give testimony, Lord, to your salvation, to point to you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I want to lift to you Catherine and my family. I thank you for Phil. You have blessed his family and my family. You have blessed congregations and neighbors with this man who loves you, Jesus. While not perfect, has indeed faithfully served you. Faithfully, Lord, served his wife. Faithfully served his family. Thank you, Lord. Lord, grant us your Spirit that we may be reminded that we grieve for but a short time. Remind us, Lord, of our eternal hope. Remind us, Lord, that we love you, Jesus, and you are enough. For this is the testimony of your people, the great gospel, Lord, that you have given us, the good news. It is why, Lord, you set before us the work to do amongst our people and amongst the community. And so, Lord, I ask your blessing. I ask your blessing on the ministries you have called us into, serving the kids who are coming home from school, engaging one another with your word on Saturday nights, encouraging the reading and reflection, spurring, Lord, husbands and future husbands on to loving their wives, Lord, as you, Jesus, love the church on Saturday mornings. On thinking and reflecting and marveling, Lord, at your sustaining power of your word through the millennia and Sunday evenings. Lord, all of these upcoming ministries, all of these opportunities to delve into your word and to see you, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue the good work in our lives. I lift up also, Lord, the ministry of family radio, that, Lord, you would continue to provide volunteers, that you would continue to provide the administrative staff with the wisdom and the patience and the creativity, Lord, to proclaim you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior across the airwaves. To be, Lord, a center of finding your wisdom and pointing to you, Jesus, of being a place, Lord, of encouragement, spurring your people on to love and good deeds. Lord, continue to use them to build your kingdom around the world. Continue, Lord, your good work in us, even here, even now, this morning. Your Spirit has moved us and brought us into your presence, and now, Lord, we ask for that continued work. We may bring greater glory to you every moment of every day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. At this time, I will invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which is for family radio. Oh, before we read scripture, I have to do some introduction stuff, okay? So this morning, as you note in the in your bulletins, the title of this particular sermon is Free to Fail. I'm highlighting that because we are doing a great experiment this coming school year in our church. And our great experiment is we will have Sunday school before the service. And part of that, then, also during our service, now is the time for the children's message. So we are going to practice this morning. Before we actually get into the rhythm of that starting in September, but we will start with our Sunday morning service, getting into the rhythm of children's message. So I invite our children to come forward, and we will do our children's message. Now, I was contemplating, you know, how do I assign an age to this, right? So if you are 1 year old and your parent really wants you to come up and enjoy it, by all means, come on forward. If you are 101 and you just want to come up anyways, you are more than welcome. And if you land somewhere in between there, you are also welcome to come up and join us. So come on forward for a kid's message. Come on forward. Oh, you've been encouraged by your brother and you're just not? That's fine. You don't have to either. So you can sit here on the stoop. Don't just stand over by the wall. Sit over here. We'll experiment, right? This is the experiment. So we'll sit here this week. We'll sit there next week. And maybe we'll all sit on the top on the stage for the third week. What do you think? Okay, we'll try all of those. I hold before you the coloring sheet that I'm going to give you. Are you ready? There you go. Color away. I know, right? Okay, so when I'm handed one of these, see, it's a blank sheet, I kind of freak out. Do you know why I freak out? I'm a little worried that I'm going to make a mistake. And when I just hand you a blank sheet of paper and I say, color this, there are some who enjoy that. Because Olivia, she is creative. She enjoys finding the things, and me, I don't even know where to begin. And then I think to myself, well, what if I use the wrong color on it? What if I can't make the right shape of what I'm trying to make and I ruin it? So, you know, I kind of get locked into a frozen state in which all I want to do is nothing on this paper, because then I can't mess it up. Have you ever felt that way? Like, another example would be shoes. Do you have a pair of shoes that you love and that you would hate to see get scuffed? No? Again, in my past, I had those, and I set them on a shelf, and I watched them in all their glory, and guess what happened the next year? I grew out of them, and I couldn't wear them. So what happens when we get afraid to fail? We don't do anything. Our expectations is perfection, and when it is perfection, then action dies. So we have to be free to fail. So I'm going to give each of you a blank sheet of paper, but I'm also going to give you another sheet to color as well in through the sermon or on your spare time. And this sheet is the other piece of this. Because God gives us the law. You know what the law is? It's the structure and the rules and the regulations to help form life, to give direction to God. And it works like, well, a coloring page. You are free to color. But sometimes When I can't move past that freedom, God gives me direction to color, lines to color inside. It's good practice so that I might get to the free page. But the lines aren't the reason. The lines are a direction pointer. So we're going to talk about how we move into that free to fail, and how God, in his graciousness, ushers us through that with his law. So I'll pray for you, and then you may go back to your seats, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that in you, Jesus, we are free to fail. And that, Lord, gives us the courage to step into the experiment of life and the bigness of loving you. Help these kids, Lord, as they continue to grow in the knowledge of you and in their faith. May you, Holy Spirit, impart to them your truth. May you grow in them, Lord, a greater love for you and your people. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, you may go be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much for participating in our great experiment on the first day. Now, congregation, we're going to go to our text this morning out of Galatians as we continue our series in Galatians. And we are going to be reading Galatians 3, 15 through 27. So I'm going to encourage you to join with me in opening up our Bibles together. While it is, yes, overhead, we want to do the good practice of opening it up. So if you open it up, right, I'm in Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, yes! Yes, excellent work, participation. If you had Ephesians, you've gone too far, because that's the next book. And so we're going to Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 15. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to his offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. You are good and gracious. You know exactly, Lord, what we need. And so, may we approach your throne room with expectant hearts to receive from your hand the good gifts that you know we need. To your praise and glory forevermore. Amen. All right, so we're working through Galatians and we're up to Free to Fail. Eugene Peterson's chapter here posed some really interesting and thought-provoking things for me this last week. For the first instance, the difference between success and failure. Let me describe to you a successful person. Good money management, yeah. Has a plan, that's good. Is able to work in and amongst the system to execute the plan and arrive at the goal. We would consider this success, yes? I would. The rest of the world, I think, would also consider it a success. Now we think of the failure. Failure would be one who commits and then fails in the commitment. That would be a big failure, wouldn't it? One who would be like, yes, I acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And then say, I don't know that man at all. That would be a failure. Amen? But I described two characters in the book, the Bible. The first one being Judas. The world would look at him and say, he's a success. The other one I described was Peter. The world would look at him and he's a failure. Judas was driven by success. Peter was free to fail. And in the end, we see God working in failure, and we see a tragic end to success. And Eugene Peterson uses this to help get the reader to the point to recognizing, okay, so failure is a good thing. Free to fail, to step into and to fall flat is okay. So that we can shift out of the oppressive nature and the anxiety-ridden drive to succeed and the fallacy that it is. And yeah, over the course of the weeks, I have seen this kind of play out, and I've had to tell a number of people actually in my life, look, you have to let go of perfection because it's killing your action. What if I do this wrong? What if I mess this up? You have to step out from underneath perfection and embrace good being good enough. Because when we set that expectation of perfection on our shoulders, it does, it paralyzes us. Proverbs, though, also notes, it's a strange little proverb, that the slackard will say, there's a lion in the street. Upon reflection, it is a little piece of our hearts that want to look at God's call to perfection, say, that's too hard. There's a lion in the street. I'm going to stay right here. And we never step into the wonder of failure. And I'm so thankful that God gave us Peter and Judas as being foils to each other so that we can go, oh, well, I definitely want to be more like Peter. Right? Because I don't want to look at a blank page and be frozen. Where's my blank page? Be frozen and not do anything. And just let it be blank and as perfect as it is. There's no bad marks on it. There's no miscolorings on it. It's just great. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good way to live. It's not a free way to live. And I think for me, Peter is my Bob Ross. Okay, so in regards to paintings, right? That man did more in the art of painting and in the world of getting people to paint than anyone else in history. I don't think it will ever be another one like Bob Ross. Why? Because he only had ever happy little accidents. He welcomed everyone into the experience of painting and free to fail. And he did it on screen. He's like, whoops, oh, we'll just turn that into a little cabin. It's a happy little cabin. Right? So when I say Peter is my Bob Ross of gospel living, I hear it so many times, get called into the proclamation of the gospel and we freeze up because I don't know enough scripture. I don't pray enough. I'm not 100% sure about every theological nuance expressed in providence of God and in the Trinity. So we get there and we're like, we see the paper that's blank and we're like, I don't know, I can't do it. I can't do it. And so Peter's life is just a stepping into and being free to fail. Like that man, he was free to fail. Up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says the dumbest thing. Let's build some shelters for you. Are you kidding, Peter? Come on. But that man could just walk right into it one time after again, after again, after again. But there's also, God gives us to help us usher into that free to fail is the structure. See, in Galatians, the law is described as a custodian, a guardian. The Greek word here, Eugene Peterson highlights this because it's important, the pedagogy. And what it was it was a household slave whose sole job it was to take the children from the house and get them to where they were going. School. So what Paul is saying is the law does this. The law takes us children and it brings us to Christ, to the freedom. He highlights in his chapter that the law is not the teacher. The law is a guide to get there. And he highlights this because Paul is highlighting it to the Galatians, because what the Galatians did is they got this, and then some teachers wigged out. It was like, oh, I don't know what to do with a blank page, but I got an answer. We're going to do this. Follow these lines exactly. Granted, it's not a color by number, but it would be in Galatia. It's a color by number, and you use these colors on these pieces, and you don't color outside of the line. If you color outside the line, you are out. God demands perfection. They looked at the guardian, the custodian, pedagogia, said, "That's the teacher. Do that." Anxiety is already building in me. What if I accidentally grab the wrong color? What if there's an earthquake and my hand shakes? What if I spill coffee on it? What if my kids write a nice note to me on it? What am I going to do? Because I can't do this. Right, we can't do it. We're right in saying it, and we need to embrace it, because then we can be free to fail. There's one more highlighted piece to this, and that is that first and foremost, as in every case, it's in every sermon that I'll give to you, Christ alone, that is our center. That is where we're headed. That is where our eyes are fixed. Christ alone. Amen? Hallelujah. So how do we put this into practice then? What do we have to look for here? Paul illustrates it in another two men. And here was another one of those shocking pieces of Eugene Peterson's insight. And that is Moses is the footnote. When I read that, I was like, what? No, he's not. He's the man. He is the Old Testament. But this is what Paul says as well. He says, first came Abraham. And the promise of Christ, that is the fullness of God's blessing. And later came Moses and the law. Abraham lived righteously. How did he live righteously? By faith. 430 years later, 430 years, men and women were living by faith. We got the law. Paul says it was a means to direct us, to lead us to Christ. It was not the primary it was not the salvation. It was not the Christ. So do we take our color by number, stay in the lines, and trash it? No, I see shakings of the head. Excellent work, congregation. I'm so glad you're here with me. Eugene Peterson notes this, and so does Paul. Well, Eugene notes it because Paul notes it. Says, do we just throw out the law? But no, by no means, no. This is the leading and the guiding. This is the directional orientation to God and to Christ. In his book, he recounts a story of while working at the church as the pastor, he had a congregation member who refused to go out the out and in the inn. There were big arrows pointed to help with the flow of traffic. And this one congregation member, he said, she knew, and she did it on purpose too. And Eugene Peterson was like, there's arrows, just follow the arrows. It's super easy, barely an inconvenience. You just come in and you sit and you park and then you come to church. She's like, no one's going to tell me how to get to Jesus. Eugene's like, oh, okay. Are the arrows on the parking lot helpful for his church? Absolutely, hallelujah, yes they are. Is that what it meant to go to church? Following the arrows? If that's the case, then everyone would drive in through the inn, they would come around, park, back up and go out the out, because now they have accomplished Sunday morning. Hallelujah. But that's not going to church, is it, congregation? It's helpful. I found this actually very helpful. I colored it this week. Because when I looked at the blank page, it's like, I have no idea what even to start with. So if you're there with me in your faith walk and you say, I don't even know where to start with, let me start with the pointing and directing of the law. This is who God is. This is who he calls us to be. This is his promise to us, that we would be made whole, that we would be perfected, that we would live a life that reflects his glory. So we can start there. For you congregation members, well, that is no way, I can't even begin to look, that just terrifies, what if I mess up? Praise the Lord, we have Peter. And that congregation member who drives against the arrows. Because it's not about the lines and the colors. It's about Jesus. And every one of us is going to stumble and we're going to fall getting there. Every one of us is going to be picked up by God. Every one of us, by the Holy Spirit, is going to continue to be transformed. We're going to get to the point in which we take that blank piece of paper, and it's going to be a reflection of God's glory in our life. Because we're free to fail. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, it is scary business. Scary business being called to serve you, to love you, and to love one another. Because the expectation is perfection. The lived reality is failure. And we get stuck, Lord. And our perfection becomes the death of our action. Meet us, Lord, in our paralysis. Grant us who need it, Lord, the directional guidance of your custodian, the law, that we would make steps to you, Jesus. Give us, Lord, the glorious revelation that it is by faith alone in Christ alone that you work your salvation in us. And that you are faithful in your promise. That you make us righteous. Not that we make ourselves righteous, but you make us righteous. And Lord, that living out this, Lord, this gospel message, the good news, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that even while we were sinners, you died for us, Jesus, would shine through in every piece of our life. And we would live into a freedom that is described in your word and unbelievable by the world. And that this week you would make inroads and opportunities for us to indeed be free to fail. To your glory and to your praise forevermore and always. Amen. If you would, please join with me in singing, and we'll stand together if you are able and willing. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Thank you.
Receive the Lord's blessing. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen.